We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
A radio.com sports station.
There is no bigger story in all of sports than the Clippers' collapse last night, but the biggest story for us in the Bay Area, without a doubt, is Richard Sherman going to the injured reserve list. The 49ers put him there today. They brought in Mohamed Sanu yesterday, and look, Mohamed is coming in off the beach, so we will see what he has to expect him to really make a difference. He's probably expecting just a little bit too much. Needless to say, the expectations for Jimmy Garoppolo to play better after that week one performance are going to be through the roof, and to talk about that, we are very happy to say hello to Mike Florio, joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Really appreciate your time today here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
Doing very, very well. So anytime you start writing about a 49er quarterback, that's always going to grab our attention. And we've spent, I think, a couple of years saying people wanting Jimmy to be a delivered final realized product are probably wanting a little bit too much even, too fast. After that week one performance, though, you can feel people losing a little patience with his development as he made several what we'll call rookie mistakes in week one. You wrote about how it might be his last year if results don't get better quickly.
I mean, the way that contract was structured, it's very easy at this point for the 49ers to walk away with minimal salary cap consequences. They admitted that they spoke to Tom Brady, or at least evaluated Tom Brady. You never quite know what the tampering rules, what did or didn't happen, or what is and isn't allowed. But he was interested in going back to the Bay Area and playing for the 49ers. They looked into it. They decided to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. It was in some way a shot across the bow at Jimmy G that it's time to get better, and he sees that. He knows it. And look, it's a merit-driven business. If you're playing well, you have that job indefinitely. If you're not, there's constantly going to be questions. And to come out of the gates, at home, even though there were no fans there, to have some questionable throws, to throw the hospital ball to George Kittle that caused him to jump up on a screen pass and get his knee hit low by Buda Baker, and now who knows how much time he's going to miss. These are all factors that we need to take into consideration when assessing Jimmy Garoppolo's performance. And frankly, when you put Garoppolo and Kyler Murray on the same field in the same game, I think already Kyler Murray is a significantly better quarterback from mobility, awareness, throwing the football accurately, getting the ball out of his hands quickly. There's a lot of things that the 49ers like to do offensively. They do a lot of passing into the middle of the field. And there's enough film out there now of Jimmy Garoppolo in the 49ers offense to know what he tries to do, what Kyle Shanahan tries to do with him. And then when you take it away, what's there? What do you do next? And I think that's where Jimmy Garoppolo also needs to show growth and development. When the first thing that's called isn't there, what does he do by way of moving on to the next thing and working through his reads and, if necessary, improvising like we see so many of the great quarterbacks do? Can you keep a play alive and move on to the play that wasn't called that you're just kind of coming up with on the fly? The truly great quarterbacks can do that, and then there's a cut of guys below that, whether it's Kirk Cousins, whether it's Jimmy G, whether it's Tom Brady or Drew Brees. When everything falls apart, they got nothing, and Garoppolo's in that category of when it all falls apart, there's nothing else there. It's just get out of Dodge and hope it doesn't completely implode.
You just mentioned the fact that, you know, defensive coordinators now have had a full year to see what he likes to do and what the 49ers like to do. And at least through 1 week, we've seen the adjustments that get made. As you look at sort of his work last year and this, do you see a guy who's capable of making those adjustments to become a more diversified quarterback, or is he what he is at this point?
Well, I think he's what he is at this point, and he's what Kyle Shanahan always wants. Essentially, and I don't want to say a robot, but basically Kyle Shanahan wants for his offense an extension of Kyle Shanahan's brain. It's basically like the Madden game where Kyle Shanahan pre-programs the quarterback to do exactly what Shanahan wants him to do in order to execute the plays in a way that Shanahan knows will be successful if the plays are executed exactly the way that Shanahan wants it done. When he was the offensive coordinator in Washington during the lockout season, I remember Rex Grossman, who ended up being the week one starter, he said publicly, look, I know how to win this job. Just do exactly what Kyle tells me to do. If I do exactly what Kyle says, I'll win the job, because he wants a quarterback who will run his offense exactly the way he wants it to be run. He doesn't want improvisation. He believes that he can design a game plan and he can design a system that's going to be successful if the quarterback does what he's supposed to do. And so I don't know how much of this is on Jimmy G and how much of it is on Kyle Shanahan not staying a step ahead of defensive coordinators, because I don't think Kyle wants, or at least in the past has wanted, a guy who can make something happen when everything goes to pot and you've got to figure out basically, you know, Brett Favre style or Patrick Mahomes style, or, you know, there's more and more great quarterbacks who can do this successfully now, what he's going to do with the ball once the first play that's called isn't there.
That being said, I think week one, at least, there were enough plays that were there that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't make to cause the concern that you wrote about and to suggest that maybe if it doesn't improve, they would look to move on. If that's the case, what in your mind is next at the quarterback position for the Niners? Is there a viable free agent? Is that a second-round draft pick, a late first-round draft pick? Because you don't expect to have a Trevor Lawrence pick, that's for sure.
Well, it's about finding someone that you're confident can do what Kyle Shanahan wants. And presumably what he wants is a guy, a Kirk Cousins, a Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy that's got the arm, a guy that's got the brain, a guy that's got the willingness to do what he's expected to do. And I thought maybe Kirk Cousins would be in play until he signed an extension in Minnesota in the offseason. And, you know, there's this fascination pie in the sky of Aaron Rodgers possibly landing in San Francisco, which would be incredible. But based on the way he played week one, I don't see him being gone from Green Bay anytime soon, even though they've ostensibly drafted his replacement. I think that what Kyle is going to need to do, and it's something he hasn't done yet as a head coach, ensure that the team aggressively scouts the available quarterbacks to see if there's a guy out there that he truly believes in. And I think back to 2017, and this is a story that Chris Sims, Kyle Shanahan's good friend, has told time and again, that Kyle wasn't thinking about Patrick Mahomes in 2017, because back at that time, the thinking was when the 2017 season ends and Washington doesn't franchise tag Kirk Cousins the third time, Cousins is going to be the quarterback in San Francisco. So Patrick Mahomes, you know, so many teams get criticized for not taking Patrick Mahomes. The 49ers had a clear shot at him and they didn't take him. And that's just because Kyle didn't do the workup. He didn't want to, didn't need to, didn't think he'd have to possibly get that guy. So my point is, in this draft class, I think it becomes incumbent, whenever they start playing full-blown college football, for the 49ers to be scouring the countryside for a quarterback that has the attributes Kyle's looking for, because I think that's one of the very viable options for him going forward into 2021.
Mike Florio here on 95.7 The Game. Mohamed Sanu knows the playbook, knows the offense, but I do know also that when Bill Belichick says goodbye to a player, and then every other team in the NFL passes on adding him in an offseason as well, it's hard to expect Sanu to come in here and save the wide receiver depth chart bacon. What do you think he does? And could he even do it in week one against, or week two, I should say, against the Jets?
I think what it takes to get Bill Belichick to give up a second round pick, because that's what he traded for Sanu, to cut the cord on the guy for whom he gave up the second round pick after half of a season, and to not even give him a chance to make it to the week one roster. And when Sanu was cut, the national reaction was, holy crap. Well, the people who cover the Patriots, like my buddy Tom Pern with NBC Sports Boston, his reaction was, if you're surprised you didn't see practice and you haven't been watching and you haven't been paying attention, because Sanu just wasn't moving the way he needed to. And, you know, that's one of the realities of the pandemic, and guys were left to their own devices from March until late July, and some guys got themselves into top condition. Some guys didn't, and some guys just get to a point where they get to an age where they can't perform like they used to, and that's that. So I think it's smart to give him a shot because there's a history there, and you see what he can do. And, you know, maybe over the past few weeks that he's been exiled, he's gone out and busted his butt, and he's ready to go, and he's in good shape, and he's motivated and driven to undo whatever was done to his reputation during this training camp in New England. But yeah, Bill Belichick isn't getting rid of this guy just, you know, for no reason at all. And he's available for a reason. And now we'll see whether or not he can be what Kyle needs to help at a time when, you know, they could use any healthy receiver they can find.
Meanwhile, we didn't even know that Richard Sherman got hurt, and he's on the IR now.
Yeah, and look, that's a costly injury for him. We've heard so much about his self-negotiated contract and last year how it worked well for him because he unlocked millions in incentives. The problem is he's got $8 million in salary, which isn't in the top 10 of all corners, but there's $4 million tied up in incentives that are going to be jeopardized by being on injured reserve. And that's the thing about injured reserve this year. Because they have made injured reserve and a return from IR unlimited, any number of guys can do it. It's part of the COVID-19 roster flexibility. And you only have to be gone for a minimum of 3 weeks. You know, it used to be a big deal when you heard a guy got put on injured reserve. Well, now it's just a place to stash a guy, basically, and they're embracing stashing players just to ensure that all 53 of your guys are healthy enough to play any given week. It used to be you'd have to carry guys on the roster until they get healthy. You're wasting a roster spot on an injured player. They have now done everything they can to have maximum roster flexibility. So, look, we don't know when Richard Sherman is going to be back. All we know is he's going to miss 3 weeks. And the reality is that's going to make it very hard for him to bump his pay this year from $8 million to $12 million like he did last year.
Toward that end, given the list of injuries that they've had, is Sherman's the most, I don't want to say catastrophic because it's week one and that's way too much of an oversell, but which of the injuries is the one that if you were Kyle Shanahan, you would be the most concerned about?
Well, probably George Kittle, because of what he means to the team, especially in a year where there's no fans in the stands at home and you don't have that natural energy that comes from the crowd. George Kittle carries around that natural energy with him everywhere he goes. We said throughout the offseason, it's critical to have a guy like that in the locker room who can light the fire under himself and everyone else, even if there isn't a single soul in the building other than the 22 players on the field. And so I think that's what hurts. And especially, you know, with Deebo Samuel injured and so much of that passing game going across the middle and the involvement of George Kittle in the running game and the blocking and the grit and everything he brings to the table, I think that hurts more than anything else. Look, at defensive back, I don't think you have to be Daryl Green in his prime or Deion Sanders at any point in his career because he was great from start to finish to be effective with the 49ers at the pass rush there. And I think that's really the key. They'll be fine in the back end if they're good and as dominant as they were last year in the front end. The problem week one, you know, they thought they had a hard time chasing around Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. It gets even harder when Kyler Murray's the guy you're trying to track down.
Yeah, so that's precisely what I wanted to ask you about. Do you look at the week one, I think it's fair to say failure of the pass rush, as more about Kyler Murray or more about what's not there? Because, boy, Dee Ford, Eric Armstead, pretty much everybody besides Nick Bosa was invisible.
I think it's more about Kyler Murray. And that's the thing about week one. You never know how good the team is that beat you. You never know how bad the team is that you beat. It all takes 4 or 5 weeks to even begin to figure out what's happening. And then after about 4 or 5 weeks, we have that correction weekend where all the trends that we thought were going to continue indefinitely get turned upside down. But based on week one, you know, there's a chance the Cardinals are the best team the 49ers are going to see all year long. We just won't know until we have more games to stack up. But here's the reality. To go from 13-3 in the number one seed to get caught flat-footed week one and to fall to 0-1. And then it's good the schedule gets soft very quickly with back-to-back games in New York against the Jets and the Giants. You need to start putting some wins together because very quickly you start to realize this isn't the same as last year. And instead of you know, getting that one seed and playing the playoff games at home. Maybe you have to do it the hard way and go on the road, which they almost had to do. That's the thing. There was nothing easy about last season for the 49ers. Came down to the last drive of the last game of the regular season to preserve the one seed. Otherwise, they're the five seed, and I doubt that they get to the Super Bowl if they come out of last season, the five seed.
Mike, I know that you got a boogie, and we thank you so much for your time. You just said it's hard to know anything about anyone after four quarters of football, but we'll end with this. How bad are the Jets?
Well, here's the thing. Look, the Jets never should have signed Le'Veon Bell. Adam Gase was the head coach. He didn't want to pay $13.5 million for Le'Veon Bell. You don't build an offense from the outside in. You build it from the inside out, which their new GM, Joe Douglas, who wasn't there when Le'Veon Bell was signed, is trying to do. I think they just need to trade Le'Veon Bell when he's healthy. Just move on from Le'Veon Bell. Try to make chicken salad out of whatever it is that's going on. But again, we don't know how good the Bills are. It's possible the Bills are ready to go next level, that the Bills are going to win the division, that playing at Buffalo is the toughest game the Jets are going to face all year long. And that's why the 49ers need to be ready for anything because, you know, the Jets started off horribly last year, 1-7, but they finished 6-2. They've got some talent. They've got some ability. And if they get a few breaks early in the game to go their way, they're a tough out. So I'm not saying it's an automatic win. I'm surely going to pick the 49ers, but it won't shock me if the Jets have a better showing in week two than they did in week one.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great catching up with you.
All right, good talking to you guys. See you.
Mike Florio here on 95.7 The Game. We'll spend a few more minutes here before we take a break, guys. It was, you hear what he just said about Mohamed Sanu. Expecting Mohamed Sanu to come on in and, you know, make plays all Sunday is an expectation that you probably shouldn't have. I mean, if he makes a couple of catches, it'll be extraordinary. I mean, it really will be, considering how bad Jimmy was at getting the ball out to wide receivers last week and Sanu just getting here. I want to talk a little bit about the Bill Belichick kiss of death. I mean, it really is. When Bill's ready to say goodbye, it's hard to believe there's a lot left. And I just went through some recent transactions, if you will, or decisions that he made with players of circumstance. So guess what? Guess who told John Lynch it was time to head to the broadcast booth? Believe it or not, it was Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick had John Lynch trying to make that 2008 Patriots team. And when he didn't make the 53-man, he retired. So John Lynch knew that when Bill Belichick says it's over, it might be over. He cut cornerback Sean Springs, who was a very good player. That guy, when Bill was done, never played again. Corey Dillon got his reboot in New England, and when Bill Belichick cut him, he never played again. Chad Ochocinco, Bill Belichick got 15 games out of him. He caught only 15 passes, and he never played again. Lawyer Malloy got clipped in a cost-cutting move. He went on to have some good years afterwards. It's probably the best goodbye Bill Belichick out there. Ty Law was also a guy who made a Pro Bowl after Bill Belichick cut him. But that wasn't nearly the I'm done with your talent as much as it was I'm done with your price point that made Bill Belichick move on from them. Malcolm Butler, maybe the most famous. The guy began his career with a Super Bowl winning play, only to find himself benched in Super Bowl 52. He's now on Tennessee, but doesn't have nearly the reputation that you think he would. Deion Branch, Joey Galloway, he caught 12 balls for Washington the year after he get cut, but that was, you know, it was all done after that. Deion Branch never played again. And Sanu, again, last year in New England, he played 8 games. He had 26 catches and 47 targets for a paltry 207 yards. No team was interested in him until the 49ers got desperate. And it's really hard to ignore Bill Belichick saying goodbye, thanks for the memories, as Mike Florio just said, for a second-round pick. And it's really also hard to ignore an entire league saying thanks but no thanks.
Let me present a counterpoint to that. Bill Belichick's worst position on this has been receiver. And most, just in general, in terms of evaluation, most of the guys you talked about that had good names were done before they ever got to New England, right? The one guy he sort of revived at the receiver position is Randy Moss, but I'm not sure he deserves a lot of credit for that. That's Randy Moss, for God's sakes. My instinct is Mohamed Sanu is not so different than what he was before he got traded for a second-round pick, which is, you know, a marginal but definitely professional NFL wide receiver. And I'm not sure that in the context of being brought into to a system he didn't know halfway through a year with, if we're honest, a quarterback who's a good ways from the top of his game as a player, I don't know that that's the fairest way to judge him as a player.
We're stuck now having to read between the lines on what Florio said when he referenced Tom Curran and said the people who were surprised when Belichick let Sanu go didn't see him in practice. Now, I'm left with a question. Did he not work hard enough? Was he not in shape? Did he not figure out the playbook? I mean, what's the reason why Belichick cut him loose? And I don't know what that answer is. But I think without knowing, it's hard to really peg him as a guy who's done or a guy who just went to a place that he didn't like.
Do you think Kyle knows that answer?
I don't know that he does. I think it's something you have to see. But I also think that given the fact that he signed him anyway, tells you how desperate he is, that he would be willing to take a chance on a guy that Bill Belichick let go in circumstances that are not clear at best and may speak more to the end of Sanu's career or his motivation. But I think that the fact that all those doors are open for why he got let go make this basically a mystery shrouded in an enigma, and we're not going to know until he plays three games
if he
gets that opportunity.
Kyle Shanahan, I'd like to use this cut, Nash. I'm just going to give you the number, the Shanahan J cut there, where he basically said this was a signing that was a leap of faith.
With Sanu, it was too hard to bring guys in for a workout and stuff. It just takes too many other days. So that's what was good with being familiar with Mo, that he could get here, start studying the playbook, allow him in Zoom meetings. So if need be, we need the numbers out there, he'll be ready.
He didn't see the workout. There was no workout to even see. So he is signing Mohamed Sanu based on what he remembers, not what he just saw.
But don't we think that he and Bill Belichick have a really good relationship?
But Bill Belichick has got nothing to do with this signing. It's not like he called New England to see about Mohamed Sanu. I think they just called Sanu.
Well, but if he's considering signing Sanu, don't you think he would ask someone he has a really good relationship with, why'd you cut this guy after you traded a second-round pick for him?
Not in this scenario, because they got desperate. This isn't a move they made because they wanted to. This is a move that they made because they kind of had to. I mean, the whole thing smacks of desperation.
Yeah, perhaps. I just, you know, football coaches are notoriously careful and often communicate about these things, and there's been so much talk about how those guys have a good relationship, that that's what led to the Garoppolo deal, et cetera, et cetera. Who knows?
There's no doubt.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did not have that conversation. I'm just saying, if we're talking about going and getting a guy who's on the street because he's probably past his prime and he was never a stud to begin with, this is about as good as it gets, you know? The other options were the sorts of things we talked about, and we've already seen Allen Robinson back off of what his trade demand to some degree. But how serious is Cleveland, and how much are you willing to spend on another guy? Because if you just want to find what's there that you don't have to give up an asset for, Mohamed Sanu is about as good as you're going to find.
How did Allen Robinson back off his trade demand? Did he put a Bears logo back on his social media?
No, he said something about expecting to be there the rest of the year or something like that. Because he never publicly said he demanded a trade, but that was a report,
right?
And I think again, like we said yesterday,
Here's the thing: when a guy goes out of his way to wipe free his social media, the current team he's working for, that's as much of a statement as anything he's going to say in the media. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of symbolism in "I don't love you no more."
Right, but I think it's pretty easy to refollow people, and it's all part of a contract negotiation. So that'll play out over the course of the year. It's probably not an option for the Niners anytime soon. I don't know if Odell Beckham is. I don't know if other guys around the league are. But look, the nice thing about Sanu is you're not committing a lot of resources to him, and if it doesn't work out, you say bye-bye. And if you still need to make a trade for trade deadline, we've seen they're willing to do that under the right circumstances.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think ultimately what we have here, because all those scenarios can play out logically in a head, is they didn't have any other answers other than him. This was the best of probably a bad set of players.
Yeah.
I mean, just because, they, you know, if you're signing a guy without even seeing a workout, you're basically saying, we don't have time to screw around here, and this is the best name I can find. So I'm not trying to say this is a predictor of anything, except that Kyle Shanahan felt like he was in a time squeeze, and he had to do this immediately.
And I think it's a short-term option to the best of everyone's knowledge and desire, because you hope to have Brandon Ayuk back, and you hope to get Deebo Samuel and George Kittle back. And if all those guys are back, Mohamed Sanu drops pretty far down the depth chart to a place you're pretty comfortable with, I would imagine. You know, and then Trent Taylor plays well. Like, there are ways to solve this with the roster simply getting healthy and playing well. But in the short term, when you don't have Deebo Samuel, why not give Sanu a try? What's the risk, really?
You know who might be a real surprise and can absolutely solve some problems for the 49ers? Dante Pettis.
Oh, boy. I thought you were going to be serious.
No,
you know,
no.
Can I wait? Start that sentence again, and I'm going to finish it seriously.
You know who I think could help the 49ers? Dante Pettis.
No. You had to stop before Dante Pettis. Oh. Jordan Reed.
Okay. Oh, do you know who I think could help the Niners?
Jordan Reed.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, this is a guy who has been a prolific pass catcher when healthy. Now, you no longer have, for the time being, your best wide receiver or your prolific pass-catching tight end. Let's see what Jordan Reed's got. He might be the most talented pass catcher available on Sunday.
Hey, Kyle Shanahan had a comment about the injury and Jordan Reed, so we'll be talking some tight ends. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan next. And coming up today at 3:45, Leandro Barbosa. Leandro Barbosa is now a player mentor coach with the Golden State Warriors. We don't even know what that is. So we will find out when we talk to Leandro Barbosa, who's just here for championship, when we come on back on 95.7 The Game. He's not too far away from joining us, and you're certainly welcome to join us as well. What do you think of Sanu? What do you think of the fact that the 49ers have to put Richard Sherman on IR? It's not quite the devastating news it used to be, but for the next 3 weeks, he ain't around. That means something. 888-957-9570. Damon Ratto and Kolskin were brought to you by Bay Alarm. When it comes to keeping you and your business safe, Bay Alarm brings the best, like offering virtual security consultations using your mobile phone. Visit your BayAreaAlarm.com today. BayAreaAlarm.com, because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Now more than ever, Bay Alarm. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
The man known as the Brazilian Blur. Warrior fans really, really enjoyed watching Leandro Barbosa with his two seasons. And he is going to be officially back with the team this year. Leandro Barbosa coming in as a player/mentor coach. Okay, so what does all that mean? We will find out when Leandro Barbosa joins us in a little bit. He's coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. That'll be a fun conversation with a guy we like very much. We were talking 49ers football, obviously George Kittle. That is an injury that I even saw Kyle Shanahan already extend, like the he doesn't necessarily have to practice to play on Sunday. That is a level of respect that only the most important players on the team actually reach, and it looks like Kittle is there. Hopefully he can go out and practice a little bit. It is a sprained knee. We know that for sure. Like Matt Kolsky said, Jordan Reed might be a guy who can really step up and present himself as an option for Jimmy downfield. When he was in there, he did catch a pass last week. Kyle Shanahan was talking today about the Kittle injury and what that means to Jordan Reed.
Kittle, it's, you know, he's battling, you know, it's, we thought it'd be all right. You know, woke up the next day a little sore. You know, he fully expects to be there Sunday, like he always does. And just like he always plays through the game when it happens, but we'll give him the whole week, you know, always love to give them out there on Friday. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, Friday's just a walkthrough anyways. But Kittle is one guy that he's ready to go on Sunday and the doctors say he's good to go. We have no problem with him going without practicing. And then Jordan's coming along as planned. You know, he got a late start to camp. We put him in very slowly in that with some of his injuries that he had from the past. And, you know, we plan to play him like we did there in the game. And we'll see if he gets a little bit more playing time if there's less tight ends up.
I mean, the real problem for Jordan Reed in his career has been concussions. It's a tough thing to prevent happening. I mean, if you're playing a full contact sport of football, I guess just limiting exposure is the very, very best you can do. So we'll see what Jordan Reed has cooked up here, Kolsky. But we also found out that, without a doubt, George Kittle, full scholarship.
Yeah, no surprise there. Of course, George Kittle plays whenever George Kittle and the doctors say it's okay, period, end of story. No surprise.
Maybe not even the doctors. Reed, if George says we're going.
To be fair, that's probably true. You know, avoid the doctors whenever possible. Jordan Reed isn't that old and has been a productive player. Yet, frankly, Ross Dwelly was a productive player for them last year. So I expect tight end to be an option whether or not Kittle is there. Now, it's obviously a better option if he's there. We all hope he's there. But I expect that to be a significant part of the game plan regardless. Because I think one of the things we may see, much to all of our chagrin, is a simplification for Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's scale it back and make a lot of easy throws to get a guy who didn't look very confident or accurate more confident and accurate. And that means tight end. That means Trent Taylor. You know, that means Kendrick Bourne across the middle. I think it's a lot of that on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes the most sense, because even though George Kittle's on scholarship, and even though the law about if you don't practice on Wednesday, you don't get to play, is not a law, I think they would very much prefer to have it.
I think we're losing Ray, huh?
We're losing Ray again. We got to get that glitch fixed. I mean, it's been 3 weeks now. Can we get, please, that glitch fixed at some point? Okay, yes, we're going to get that fixed. Good. I've been told not to vamp on it, but when I remain silent, nothing happens. So I'll vamp a little. Let's get Tim Jordan over to Ray's house with a new cord tonight. Hi, we're Afternoon Drive in the biggest market in America. One of them, anyway. So let's continue. Ray, how are you?
I don't know. How's the show been so far?
Much better now that you're back. What were you saying there when you glitched out just a touch?
Well, I don't know when I glitched out, so if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But if they could practice Kittle, they surely would. So what they're saying here is we're going to take every medical precaution by saying we're not even going to bother to have him practice this week. He'll be fine, which leads me to believe that what they're saying is we hope he'll be fine. But I think Matt's greater point was that they're going to I shouldn't say dumb this down. They're going to simplify this offense to the point where I think you could see them running 60% of the time or throwing a lot of balls just out of the backfield. It's going to look like a really rudimentary offense by NFL standards because health is telling them they don't have a choice. They have to beat the Jets while letting the Jets know exactly what they're going to do.
I wouldn't use the word rudimentary either, because I think the offense Ray just described is not so different from the offense we saw most of last year. I wouldn't have called it rudimentary, old school perhaps in terms of the distribution between running and passing, but creative and interesting and wildly successful, particularly in that run game, and especially now as they play less good teams. For lack of a better word, I expect the run and the short passing game to be out in full force, because we know even without any of those wide receivers we like, they have guys. And first of all, Ayuk could be there, which would be exciting. But they have guys in the run game, certainly Mostert and potentially McKinnon, who can take those short passes and make things of them.
Hey, look, they should do more pre-snap read in their run game than most teams do when they actually snap the ball. And that's where Kyle needs to be great. That's where he needs to set up mismatches and running lanes
And that's what he does, as Matt so eloquently just said, against worse or not good competition. So worse or not good competition is officially there in the next 2 weeks. But, you know, look, counting a team out or saying they're not good enough to even be on the court with us is pretty much how the Clippers lost last night. And it's definitely how you can go ahead and lose a football game, too. The minute you don't respect your opponent, you're in trouble. 888-957-9570. This is Dave in Pleasanton. Hello, Dave. You're on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on? So I'll say a couple of things, and I'll take your responses off the air. So first off, I'm tired of the Jimmy G trash-talking or hating on Jimmy G. My thing is we're so spoiled in San Francisco with Joe Montana and Steve Young, it's never going to be good enough unless he's a top-five quarterback. But what do we expect from a guy when he has Trent Taylor, who is so slow? He looked extremely slow. And Kendrick Bourne, who cannot – but you throw Adrian Peterson on him, neither one of them are getting open. And then I'm mad at Kyle because at the end of the game, our best receiver would have been Jordan Reed. And he wasn't on the field. We're talking about easing him in for concussions. Number three, and this is the last one, we lost the Super Bowl and we lost last night, in my opinion, because we had nobody that could cover DeAndre. Now, when it comes to that, we go to cover our zone. We can't play man-to-man. We have no man-to-man cornerbacks, and that's a problem with or without Sherman. We can't shut down a number one receiver. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. So here's the deal. If you're going zone, your defensive line better be getting home and getting home real fast. On a mobile quarterback, that's hard to do. On a stationary quarterback, that's a lot easier to do. So maybe the defensive schematics that you're talking about do come into play in weeks two and three. Not quite there in week one. You can't play zone against a mobile quarterback like that. The minute you turn your back, you kind of almost have to. If you run away man to man, and you hear that they broke it up, half the secondary was playing zone, half the secondary was playing man to man, and that is something that comes into play in week two and should be easier based on the quarterback. The thing about Garoppolo is you're not going to hear him ripped apart on this show. I think that our approach to Jimmy Garoppolo has been spot on. It's not overreactionary. We're not trying to litigate or relitigate his position on the team week to week. But we did, in week one of this year, grade him on what I thought was an appropriate curve, knowing the circumstances, and he still didn't get a very good grade. I mean, that's like Mark Florio said, when you're getting it done, you can stick around. When you're not getting it done, it's going to be harder to stick around. Jimmy is not getting things done that at this point in his career and in his offense, it should be a little bit more automatic.
And none of us are suggesting that these decisions have been made or that there's, you know, cut him tomorrow or anything like that. And I would add, you know, all due respect to the caller, Kendrick Bourne was open repeatedly. So, you know, the fact that the ball did not arrive when or where it was supposed to is why those catches didn't happen. And that's not on Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne is Jerry Rice. Exactly. I'm not saying any of these guys are Jerry Rice. I'm not saying any of these guys are Deebo Samuel. But they were open on Sunday, and Garoppolo missed them.
Yeah, you haven't heard a lot of people come to his defense about his performance because his performance was poor by the standards that you saw him set even last year. But I think in some part, Florio also hit on the fact that he is who he is, and it'll be interesting to see what the level of improvement he can make given the fact that he's now been this guy since he went to New England. And I don't know how much improvement there is to make. He may just be who he is, and receivers are going to have to do more of the work to stay out of, you know, to keep him out of trouble. It may be as simple as that.
The thing about, you know, Jimmy is who he was coming out of New England and all that. He was who he was in New England based on the fact he got no reps. Nobody played behind Tom Brady. It was like being Peyton Manning's backup. You didn't even touch the ball all year. The word on Jimmy was, as soon as he starts getting his reps, he's going to develop the feel of the game, and it's going to come together quickly.
the feel of the game in his first 16 game. He started them all. We saw it got them to the Super Bowl. But his feel for the game, his feel in the pocket, his decisions that have to come in a split second, because that's all anybody's afforded in this league, it's not instinctual. I mean, it's not. And that's the problem. Does he have the arm talent? Yes, he does. Can he be accurate underneath? Yes, he is. Can he throw a good long ball? I know he's more famous for not hitting Emmanuel Sanders than he is. But yeah, I think he can throw a good deep ball too. He was the best third down passer in the league last year. It's really not arm talent. It's instincts and it's decision making that are still leaving Jimmy coming up a little short in the conversation of, are you among the elites yet? He's not.
And I think part and parcel to that too is all those things you said he's capable of, he can't do them with consistency. So yeah, sometimes he throws a beautiful deep ball. Sometimes he goes a whole game or three games or five games where he's accurate as hell with his underneath passing. But then you'll have a game like Sunday where he threw George Kittle onto, you know, potentially the injury list. He underthrew Kendrick Bourne. He overthrew Trent Taylor. And all those things combined to help the Niners lose a game.
Yeah, what Florio call it? The hospital ball to Kittle? He did. He almost threw a hospital ball to Kittle. I know we got people on hold here who want to talk Niners, and we will come back and talk Niners with you. But right now we get to talk to a former Golden State Warrior who is not so former when it comes to being around the team, because Leandro Barbosa is officially back as a player, mentor, coach. And to find out what that means, I know that Sean Livingston is also back in the mix. The Warriors, they do love to keep their own around, and Leandro Barbosa is going to be back around the Golden State Warriors. He's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Leandro, thank you very much for joining us, and I'll say the same thing to you. It's the only Portuguese I know. Oi, tudo bem?
Tudo bem. How are you, my friend? What's
doing very on? Well. Thank you so much for joining us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. It's good to have you. And look, you were really, really liked around these parts, and you are now back to these parts. Tell us what you plan on doing with the Golden State Warriors.
Well, I'm very, very excited, you know, about this position, you know, that I got offered and I took, you know, and I'm happy to be back to the organization, you know, be around the guys. I miss that, you know. My position is, like you said, is a player, mentor, assistant coach. It's kind of teaching point the young guys, you know, especially the guys that are on the bench. I got a really good connection, you know, with the players that I can come and just talk to them and tell them what they need to do, you know, to get better, to get more minutes or to be successful, you know. So that's how it's going to be my role, you know. And like I say, I'm very, very happy to be back. You know, over the years, I got so many experiences that I can just, you know, pass to these young guys. And I hope I can help the Warriors, you know.
So describe the kind of problem that would fall under your purview and how you would, you know, basically try to solve it. Because, you know, there are so many coaches on a team, and they can all get into a player's ear and then confuse him. So what exactly is your role? And try to use like a specific example. You don't have to get into a player's name or anything, but you see something, what do you do about it?
Well, I talked to Steve, he don't really want me to be just a coach. He want me to be a player coach. So I will be practicing with the guys, you know. It's kind of I'm on a team, but I'm not. I am a coach, but at the same time, I'm a player. So I will be more, you know, available to talk to the young guys, to the even Clay and Draymond and Curry, because we know each other for a couple years ago, and we have a relationship. So it'll be easier, you know, to get in touch with those guys. Obviously, they are a superstar players, you know. They're not what they were when I was here playing, you know. But I will be playing, you know, 3-on-3, 4-on-4. I'm still in condition and able to, you know, to do that. So Stevie wants me to be on the court with all these young guys and players and, you know, help open up their mindset so they can be successful on the court and we have a winning position, you know, to do it.
So that's, I think, the next question is, obviously, we haven't seen those guys on the court in a long time. We're all excited to see it again. How far away from being a championship contender again do you feel like this team is?
I haven't seen the whole team yet, you know, and I'm excited to see that. And we also don't know when the season is going to start, you know. But what I'm more considering is, like, get the group together, you know. We got some very good talent players, and that's what we work on it so far, you know, get them improved. So when Clay, Draymond, Curry, Wiggins, you know, when they're out there, they got support from the bench, you know, from the rest of the guys. Looney also, you know, so those young players can help us, you know, to get fired away, you know. So that's what we work on it, but I'm excited to see the whole team together. And that's when we're going to, you know, take a look and see, yes, we can do it again.
Leandro Barbosa here on 95.7 The Game. So, you know, obviously you're going to teach Steph Curry how to shoot the ball a little bit. Clay could use a little help in that regard.
Curry, I teach him how to lay up. You know,
yeah, take it to the hole. Absolutely. Get to the hole every now and then. To me, in all seriousness, Leandro, the one guy that I think you got to put your arm around the very first day you're on the court with him is Jordan Poole. I mean, if you became the hand-selected mentor to really take this first-round pick and find that next level, and he flashed an awful lot of potential, tell us what you see in Jordan Poole.
Yes, I worked with him today, and he asked a lot of questions, and I was so happy that he came up to me and asked so many questions. I was able, you know, to teach him and answer, giving answers, you know. So he's open, you know, to do whatever. And yes, it will be my pleasure to help this kid. You know, he's gonna be one of those guys that we're gonna need, you know, especially on the second unit. You know, I know he had a different role last year, you know, but this year is going to be important because the big guys, they come, you know, they come back. So it's going to be an interesting year. You know, I know that he's a talent player. He can really shoot the ball. It just, you know, we just got to, you know, his mind just got to be a little bit better, you know. And I'm sure he will. Like I said, he's open, you know, for us to talk to him, you know, and he's young, you know. You got to consider that, you know. But it won't be a problem.
So if we use Poole as the template, is your role sort of to come up to them and say, have you thought of this? Or do you wait for them to ask you questions and then you provide the answers that they clearly need?
I'm always going to come up to them and tell what I think. I'm open to hear what they have to say. You know, I mean, like I'm open mind, you know. I always going to listen to them, you know. But I'm always going to come up to them and see what I think. And of course, Steve is going to talk to me and he's going to tell me what I have to, you know, work on those players, you know. But I'm open. They're going to be open, and that's what is the more important, you know. So I don't see issues, you know, to this no work, you know. So I'm sure he's going to be okay.
So, obviously, you played for Steve Kerr here. You and Steve Kerr also share an organization with another former player who just got a coaching job, your old buddy Steve Nash. What did you think of that hire, and how good do you think he'll be as the head coach in Brooklyn?
I think he's going to do a great job. You know, Steve is a guy that he's easygoing to you know, deal, you know. He have a relationship already with Kevin Durant, you know. I don't know about Kyrie, but I don't think that's going to be an issue. I know he's going to have a lot of pressure about meeting and stuff. You know, he's in Brooklyn. You know, it's obviously this, you know. But like I said, Steve is being on the court. He's played so many years. He had a lot of pressure, you know. So getting those pressure, it's not going to mean anything to him. he's just going to be him, and he's going to get the support from the assistant coach, which is Jack Vaughn. He's still there. I'm sure he's going to do a tremendous job. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, see him doing a great job, you know, and see his teams winning. And hopefully the Warriors come out there and beat their team, you know.
You said that they were going championship, and they did. And then the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. We all know about that. Last night, we saw another team in the NBA blow a 3-1 lead. What did you think, Leandro, of that Clippers collapse?
I didn't like to see what I saw last night. You know, it really came up to my mind what we've been through, you know, and I really don't know what happened that night. You know, to be honest, I don't have answers. I wish we could have won. You know, I don't know if we got too comfortable. I really don't know. The one thing that I can tell you, it's that the problem that we had, it was Draymond get suspended. And I don't know if we got too comfortable about the situation and we couldn't finish. You know, we gave confidence to them. And same thing happened last night, you know. Denver was confident, you know. They were the underdogs. And they did what they supposed to do, you know. And on the other end, the Clippers has one of the MVPs, the sixth man of the year. What else they have? They got PG, you know. So it was no reason for the Clippers lose that game. But they gave a chance to Denver. They gave a confidence, and they came up, and they played really big. You can't have Murray have 40 points, you know. So I don't think they did a good job.
Well, I'll tell you what, Leandro, it was great catching up with you. We hope to do it again as we get closer to the draft, as you get a few practices with these guys under your belt. We'd love to circle back and hear what you think the next season's going to look like. Thank you very much for joining us, and welcome back to the Bay Area.
Pleasure, friends. Pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Leandro Barbosa, we going to be championship. I love that guy. I seriously.
He's kind of a ray of light, you know?
Really, yeah.
He's a positive guy.
Totally, totally. He is exactly the kind of mentor you want for young players, especially if you just got to take it to the rim, man. Get to the rim. He knew how to get to the rim. When we come on back, we're not too far away from 49ers left tackle Trent Williams. He joins us at 4:30. We're going to get back on our clock now. Damon Radowinkowski, brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.